Okay, this is Parak Beis and Hilchos Shita B'Yovel. Actually, I'd like to take up both Parak Beis and Parakimel today. They're both fairly short chapters. Parak Beis deals with, I guess the best way to describe it is like certain actions where in and of themselves should not be a problem during Shemitah, but since they look or resemble actions that are prohibited to do during the Shemitah year, that's why they are prohibited. So let's start with Aleph. Lo yotzi adam zvalim mechatzero vitim sof sadehu b'shvias. So a person can't take garbage, not today's kind of garbage, more compost-like. But anyway, can't take garbage from his chatzer and dump it in his field during Shemitah. Because it looks like he's fertilizing his field, so it'll be good to plant in it. Let's say he did. Okay, let's say he removed the garbage and made like a pile of it in the field. Then it's mutter. But you shouldn't make a garbage heap inside his field, right? You should basically wait, until the normal time people would fertilize their field. There's again, not like today where we fertilize constantly. Back then, there was a certain period of time. And that's when is that? It's when these certain apples become bitter. You should not make the garbage pile less than 150 seah. Because this way it'll be obvious she oshba that it's garbage. You can always add to the garbage pile. Hayelo dover muad. Let's say he has something smaller, most of a love, a hola. You can add to it. In general, in one beseya area, a person should not create more than three garbage heaps. Like a base. That wrote to lasos kolsa deyo shalosh shalosh shpasos the sof beseya osa. You could if you want to. Make waste heaps throughout the entire field using this ratio of three for every beseya. Rotalaso zeblo otsar osa. And if a person wants to combine all his waste into one large pile, he could do that as well. So he doesn't have to subdivide them into three. He can make a massive structure of garbage if you wanted to. Alecha gimel. Hayamamid azeba ala sela. Let's say a person placed garbage on a rock. Oshahen mik ba'aretz shosha tvachim beharim azeba. Or let's say he digs out three tvachim into the ground. And he makes a pile of his garbage or waste over there. Osha banal arts goba shalosh, or he built on top of it a mound of three, and then the hemid alav azel, put the garbage on top of that. And it starts here. There's no measurement required. Afilu asakim kam ashvasos sof beiseya beinos beinos mutter. He can make as many garbage piles as he wants. If he does it in this way. Why? Drei davar nicker, because it's clear. She'ein lavodas arts alapinsos azel. Because the reason why he's building these structures and putting the garbage on top or in them is to show that's where he wants to store his garbage. So I can go ahead and remove waste from, let's say, an area where like a pen that I keep my sheep in. I can remove the waste from there, okay, and put it into my field, like all the cases of waste, okay, even though, as you'll see, this does involve manure. Let's say you make also like something like a pen for the sheep to live in during in your field during Shvius. You can't make it bigger than two seah. The yachnis at some so far, and then you can bring the sheep into it. Now, what's going to happen? Naturally speaking, the sheep are going to dump their waste, so to speak, all over the field, right? Which is kind of like fertilizer. But when you have dofen echad, mi dofen adir, you can go ahead and leave one wall of the pen standing. Go to the acher betzido, and then make another pen next to it. Nimsa mizevel b'sof tadeo beis arba'asvarz. And this way you can actually, in a sense, you're fertilizing the field, not in a prohibited way, up to four sun worth. So you could actually make another pen and drive the sheep into that pen and use the field of the area that they were in before, and that field is fine, even though it was fertilized. Because again, your intention was for you to fertilize it, the sheep are fertilizing it. Alakha hey, haisa kol sadeo beis arba asayin. Let's say the entire field is only large enough that you can plant four sun in it. You should leave some area of that field unfertilized because of Meyer science. People might think that you're fertilizing the field. Because everyone needs to know that it was what it called, the sheep did this, okay? It was their waste. And they won't say, they won't say this guy went ahead and fertilized his entire field during Shvius. So a person should not open up a rock quarry. He shouldn't dig one out in his field during Shvius. Why? Shemi Yomru, people will say, Lasakin Sadeh on his cabin, Shashim and Asela. They'll say the reason why he did it is he wants to remove rocks from his field. Because again, that produces more area where you can grow produce. In his slum, Mikodim Shvias, but let's say you started prior to Shvias, you potzel mena sheva the esr mavanin the ravua shaloshos avrom shalosh. Not so, it doesn't matter what the exact measurements are, but basically what you did was you took out 27 blocks around this type of measurement. Kol evin mehen ama ama, the rom ama, ogdolos miso. So if you follow this formula of these size rocks that you took out, there are total 27 of them. Then I raise a mutl nakim and shvias, kol machi yitza. Then you can go ahead and extract any rocks you want from there during Shvias. Again, if Nicker, it's obvious that he's not doing it for the purpose of helping out the field. Let's say you have a stone wall, that's 10 tvachim or higher, and he wants to remove all the stones from the wall. Let's say he has 10 or more stones, and each one of them is what it called, would require two people or more to carry it, meaning they're big stones. Then I raise a nota. You can take them off. Because the fact that they're so heavy, people will see it, will realize he's only taking it off because he wants the rocks off. Let's say it's shorter than 10 tefachim in height. Or it's less than 10 stones. Or the rocks are small enough that a person can carry them on their own. Then nota achi you have tefach some hearts. You can take off the rocks, but he must leave one tefach amount of rocks at the bottom to demonstrate that he isn't using it for the field. This only applies when his intention is actually to improve the field. So he started taking the rocks down during Shemitah. But if his intention is not to fix the field, or he started prior to Shemitah, then no tol b'shvias kol ma she'yitza. He can take off any rocks he wants. You come welcome in any place with gomim avaretz, and you can basically let them touch the ground. If he's taking rocks from his friend's field, even though he's, let's say, a contractor, he can clear off all the rocks until the point where the soil underneath is exposed. Let's say have stones that if I plowed over it, the rocks would come out, right? Or let's say they're covered by dirt, and now they're uncovered. So if there are two stones, and each one is two people required to carry it, then it's mutter to move them. But if they're smaller, you can't move them, because again, you're exposing earth that you're going to, and it would appear as if you're helping yourself out to plant. Let's say someone removes stones from his field during Shvias. Why? Because he wants the rocks. No tells all Yonos, so he takes off the upper ones. And he leaves the ones that touch the ground. So too, let's say he has in his field a pile of little pebbles. Ogal shalabanim. Let's say he has what he called a large pile. No tells all Yonos, he takes off the top ones. He never disturbs the ones that are touching the ground. Let's say there's a large rock, okash, or straw underneath them. Then he can take off the pebbles. Right, a person should not fill a groove that's in the ground with any type of dirt, or let's say use dirt to level it off, because that's fixing the ground. But he can go ahead and make like some sort of split in the ditch. Any stone that I can go ahead, again, that's inside that grooved area that I can move with my hand, pick it up, right? If I'm standing on the edge of the groove, you can actually pick that rock up from outside of the groove. Okay, I love you, Bez. Avne Kase, let's say I'm carrying stones in my shoulder. And let's say they're like, for instance, two or three that I'm carrying on each shoulder. I can bring them from anywhere. Whether it's my friends or my field. So to a contractor, maybe become, again, he's doing construction, let's say, maybe you call Makam, you can bring stones from anywhere. A field of Anudolos, even if they're big stones, whether it's in the field where he's hired or not hired. Because again, it's clear based on his job, he's using them for purposes of construction. Parts of Pirza Shahi Suga Ba'afar. Let's say you have an open space in a wall where, and this kind of wall basically separates a private domain from the public domain. Im Ina Mechshal Sarabim, if it doesn't, let's say, create an obstacle for people, also knows that you can't build it. But let's say this area is a problem, meaning an obstacle for the rabbin. Let's say it wasn't like dug into the ground, but just open to the shas rabbin. then it'd be permitted to rebuild such a structure. Finally, Lach Yodad, also Libnos Geder B'Shvias, you can't build a wall during Shemitah year, Bein Sadeh with Lechavero, between my field and my friend's field. About Bona Geder, Beino Bein Rishus Rabin, I can build a wall between my house and the public domain. Mutar Lahamik Adasela, and I can go ahead when I build a wall to dig until I reach a stone. Umotius Afar, and I can take out the dirt. It's Sobro Besok Sadeo, and I can go ahead and gather it in my field. Kedera Koma Midin Zeba, like any case of gathering waste. Let's say I went ahead and dug out a hole, the Sia Kamara, let's say a trench or some type of storage area, Bashvias, Sober Alfar Basov Sadeo, you can go ahead and gather the earth in your field, Kidera Kolachofer, like anyone else who digs. That ends Parak Beis. Parak Gimel now, okay, which is also a short parak. This is going to deal with what's called Tosefa Shvias. Excuse me. Tosefa Shvias is similar to the idea of Tosefa Shabbos, where there's a period of time before Shabbos, we accept Shabbos upon ourselves, where there's prohibitions. The same thing applies to Mashvita as well. Alacha Aleph. Avodas Aret V'shana Shishish Shloshim Yom Samach Shvias Asura Alacha Moshe V'Sinai. So there's an axiom that was given over to Moshe at Har Sinai that we cannot work the land 30 days prior to Rosh Hashanah of the seventh year. Because if you do, you're really basically preparing it for Shemitah. Now this is only, according to the Rama, this is only prohibited in the times of the temple, okay? And it was prohibited based on the oral law. The Gazru Chachamim, and the Chachamim came along and extended the Isser, Shlo Yu Chorshim Sadat Yivan, Er Shvias Vizana Mikdash, Ela Adat Zeres. Chachamim came along and said that you can't go ahead and plow an orchard in the year prior to Atzeres, prior to Shemitah, until Shavuos, meaning after that you can't do it. We stay love on a Pesach. You can only plow a stay love, and we'll get to that later on, what that is, until Pesach time. There's a long period of time you can't do stuff. There's Manjay Mikdash, but when the Mikdash is not, basic Mikdash isn't around, we turn by Bodas Aret, Rosh Hashanah, and Torah. You can go ahead and permit any type of agricultural work that you want to until Rosh Hashanah, as permitted based on Torah law. Alaka base, Ezehu, stay at Elon. So what exactly is a stay Elon? Literally, stay Elon is a field of trees or an orchard. Called Shlosha Elonos, the base of. So three trees in a Besa era. Echad Ilan Tzrak, Echad Ilan Machal. Let's say one of them is non-fruit bearing, one of them is. Even if they belong to three different people. Rono Sanki Ilahim Te'inim. We look at them as if they're fig trees. Imruin Lasos, Kikar Debela, Shoshishim, Mana. If they're able together to produce this large amount of 60 manas worth of dried figs, Korshin Kol Beisea Beshvilim. Then we can plow the area of the Beisea for them. As long as there's a significant distance between the two. What's the distance that required between the trees that cattle can walk through with all the various implements that are placed on the cattle? Let's say there are fewer than three trees in the base there area. Or there's three. And one of them can produce 16 mana of figs. The other two cannot. Or two can produce 100 mana, and one can. You don't plow unless they need it. And that's as long as a person, the area that he's standing in is enough of an area where a person were able to stand there and pick the figs along with the basket that he puts them in. Let's say they're between three and nine trees, and they're together able to produce 60 mana. You can plow the entire Beisea for them, even if there are some of them that don't really produce a lot of figs, but if you would starve them, if you take them all together, if they produce this amount, then it's fine. Let's say there are 10 or more trees in a Beisea area. Oh, yes, sir. Bein osin, bein einam osin, whether they do or not produce fruits. You can plow the entire area for them. If there are 10 plantings, we'll see what that is in a second, spread out in the Beisea, you can plow the entire area of this Beisea until Rosh Hashanah. This is axiomatic. Let's say the plantings are planted in a row, or let's say a semicircle. You can't plow only for each of their individual needs. You can't plow the entire field. And squash are related together with the plantings, to produce the total number of 10. Halacha Zayin. Now, what's a netiyah? Ezuhi netiyah. What's a netiyah? Zeh ha'ilan ha'katan. It's a sapling. Kol zman shekorim lo netiyah. As long as I call this thing a sapling, it's considered a netiyah. Halacha Ches. Ilan sheniksas. Okay. Let's say I have a tree that's cut off. Behotzi chalipin. And what happens? New trees grow up from it. Im niksas mitapach lomala. So if it was cut off, let's say from the tefach or above, hariyuk ilan, it's considered like a tree. Mitefach lomata, from a tefach and below, hariyuk inatia. That's considered like a planting or sapling. Alakates. Chol dvar ma'ilu, everything Rambam just spoke about, bizman and mikdash kmo shmano. All these issues apply of, let's say, plowing in the times of the base of mikdash. But today, mutar mi vodas arat, Rosh Hashanah. You can do whatever you want until Rosh Hashanah itself. Even during the times of the base of Mikdash, there were many activities, for instance, fertilizing fields, removing stones, etc., that were permitted to do until Rosh Hashanah. Again, these are all activities of fertilizing, cleaning out the trees, pruning, smoking the trees. All these things are permitted to do prior to Rosh Hashanah in the times of the base of Mikdash. Those are button of Mashkinasam. You can even make, little areas for them, little divide up areas for them and water them. The Sakin is a pagin, Menachem no son, and you can go ahead and place water on them and apply oil to them. Kolak, Lotus, Elu, all these activities, Mutaris, Barashvias, have Rosh Hashanah, Shashvias. These were all permitted until Shvita, Vafilat, Bismana, Mekdash, even in times of the Besa Mekdash. Lachiyud, Pagay, Erev, Shvias, Shenikhasul, Shvias. Let's say I have unripened fruits, okay, in the sixth year, and now go into Shvita. Shall Shviyish, Yatsun Mote Shviyish, or let's say I have from Shviyish into the eighth year, those Sachem Lomanakin, those I can't oil or perforate. Was Man Mikdash during times of Beis Mikdash, in Bonin Madregos, Alpi Hagayos, Er Shviyish, they would not build these steps at the entrances to these various valley areas where they would grow stuff on the, excuse me, during the sixth, in the sixth year, Mish Yivsigo and Shamu, when the rain stopped. Because in doing so, right, it will be clear he's preparing for Shvita. Finally, Lachidalaf, Afiz Manazeh, even today, Ein Notin Ilanos, we don't plant trees during the right before Shvita. They markivin, they marbrit, we don't graft, we don't extend the trees, Erashvias, right, on the sixth year, Elekadesha Tiklo, Tamatia, Vetisha Akakrita, Shloshi Yom Konam Rosh Hashanah Shoshvias. We only do it, as long as, as long as there's time for all these plants to take root in the ground 30 days prior to Rosh Hashanah, the stam klita shtei shavasos, and the approximate time it takes for these types of plants to root in the ground is 2 weeks. The dabar zer asav olam. This is always prohibited. Why? The maris ayin. Only because of maris ayin. Shema yomar, because people might say, haroa, b'shviyas nato. Because the guy might say, oh, look, he planted this during Shvita. Nimseis omer, right? What do we see from this? Shehanotea o amarvik or markev er shviyas kodem Arbaim be Hamisha Yom. Excuse me, Kodim Rosh Hashanah be Arbaim be Arba Yom. Right. So what do we see? We see it comes out 44 days prior to Rosh Hashanah. You're allowed to go ahead and maintain these things. Pachas Mikan Yakor. But if it's prior, if it's after that, you should really uproot them. In low akar. But let's say I didn't uproot these plants. I pay us with time. He makes Kodim Yakor. Right. And let's say he died. What do you call before he uprooted them? The Chayim is yours akar. Then his inheritor. Let's say his son, for instance, would be chayav to uproot. That ends Parak Gimel, and we will pick up Parak Daled after Shabbos. Shabbat Shalom.